75. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 71 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with New York Giants legend and South Carolina Hall of Famer Corey Miller
and his son,
four-time SEC champion
and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
And knocked down again. It was Christian Miller.
Here is college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
Welcome into this Wednesday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store. America's Art Sport Experts, hope everybody's doing well today. A little bit of a overcast, I would say, but nonetheless, it feels good outside. Got my morning walk in with my dog Leo and ready to roll. But big thanks to Good Feet Store. That's always an easy process and a pain-free process with those premium art sports that are designed to eliminate and alleviate all types of pain, whether it's foot pain, knee pain, back pain, you name it, they take care of it. Check them out right now. Midtown Village here in Tuscaloosa is where you can find them, or you can always find the nearest location to you. Goodfeet.com is the website. More information, just type in your zip code and they'll pop up. There's five locations total in Alabama, Mobile area, Birmingham, definitely Tuscaloosa and others, plus nationwide. So check them out and sign up for the Goodfeet Kick for Cash Challenge while you're thinking about the Goodfeet store. Goodfeetkickforcash.com, name, email, and you're entered in there. If you get selected, you get a chance to go kick some field goals and win some free cash. So I definitely urge you guys to do that ASAP. This actually probably is the last time you get to do that, unless we end up hosting a playoff game, which we're going to talk plenty about the playoffs. This is the last home game of the year, so I'd imagine it will be the last time you get to attempt to kick some field goals for some cash. So make sure you guys do that again. That is presented by the Good Feet Store, just like we are. Improving the quality of people's lives 2 feet at a time. Speaking of the playoffs, we're going to talk a lot about it, but not only myself. It will be my my co-host, my counterpart on the Alabama post-game show that we do on the Crimson Tide Sports Network, Gray Robertson of the Crimson Tide Sports Network, SEC Network, all that good stuff, will be joining me at 11:30 to help break down what we saw yesterday, right? And that was last night, the new rankings came out. Alabama, unfortunately, drops a little bit further, not much further, but a little bit further than I guess I would have expected and a lot of others did. And there's a little bit of a controversy. I say a little bit, definitely could be a big controversy down the road. We'll have to see. But just in terms of a couple of the placements of teams, I don't want to jump the gun, so we'll save that here in a minute. But definitely we will talk about that because I know there's a lot of people at the bare minimum, Chase, probably scratching their head. Some people probably, you know, cussing a little bit, just seeing where Alabama ended up landing and behind who they landed behind. And we did get an explanation. You know, the committee spoke about their reasoning and in their decisions, right, for what they came up with. So we'll talk about that. I'm curious what you guys' thought is. 205-342-9904. First, we'll talk about it with Gray at 11:30 here in a moment. But I would love to get y'all's opinion on everything. If you guys are tuning in on the stream, welcome in. And as you guys can see on the title, it's always a clickbait top, right? So don't take it too serious. But it is, will Alabama make the college football playoffs? I mean, I'll give you my answer right now just off the bat. Yes, I believe they will. But just seeing how the committee's thinking right now does give you a little bit of a concern knowing what we talked about yesterday, you know, making the SEC championship game. Initially, I was like, yeah, of course. I mean, even if you lose that game, which you don't want to speak like that, but we're just, you know, speaking in hypotheticals, I guess. You would imagine there's no way they leave out a then three-loss team by an extra game, right, in Alabama. However, after seeing where they had Alabama come in last night, which was number 10, it does make you wonder exactly where their head is, which I'm not going to lie. And I'm not trying to be that guy that's trying to go after the committee and their decisions, but definitely at least for me, Chase, had me kind of scratching my head how everything ended up playing out, at least in terms of the whole Notre Dame and Alabama. I'll just go ahead and get out the way. The Notre Dame-Alabama spot, that one's very confusing to me. And we'll talk a little bit about it here in this next segment. Then we'll get Gray's thoughts because, again, Gray Robertson He keeps up with all this stuff, and he's, I know he's got a lot of thoughts for sure in terms of, you know, strength of schedule and all these things. So we'll dive into deeper with him. Plus, we might take a little bit of a preview at Eastern Illinois a little bit. We're not going to go too in depth. We'll talk about them a little bit. No disrespect to those guys, but I just don't think you guys have the most interest in hearing a whole preview breakdown on it. If you do, I mean, we can definitely dive deeper, but as of now, the game plan is kind of just to do a quick little, breeze through them at some point. A little bit later in the show today, maybe even tomorrow. Plus, it is Wednesday. That means we will hear from head coach Kalen DeBoer for his weekly SEC teleconference. He's scheduled for about 11:30 or so. We'll get it played around top of the hour, and then we'll respond to that as well. So that's what we got on set for you guys for today. Per usual, I want to remind you guys, you always can get on the action 205. Excuse me, sorry, my mic, I guess, went out for a second. 9904-205-342-9904 is the number to the program. I always urge you guys to get in on the phone lines, or you can always leave your questions, comments, concerns, whatever the case, or even voice messages if you download that Tide 100.9 app. I'm sorry. Completely free in Apple App Store, Google Play Store, all that stuff. So make sure you guys do that as well. And you can always leave your questions, comments, and concerns right here on the stream at the Miller's Edge, where we stream daily as we do the show. That being said, let's hit our first time out. When we come back, we'll dive into this playoff talk. And again, at 11:30, we'll hear from Gray Robertson of the Crimson Tide Sports Network, slash SEC Network as well, and get his thoughts and impressions on college football playoff rankings, because he can give you a whole heck of a lot deeper of a dive than I can. I'm curious to hear his thoughts because I know he has a lot of them. All that coming up right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Art Sport Expert.
If you have an infection, flu-like symptoms, or if you need a vaccine, ask your doctor about Tremfya. Call 1-800-526-7736 or visit Tremfya.com.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Art Sport Experts. All right, so again, we got Gray Robertson coming up at 11:30. Again, he's my co-host. You guys have heard him. If you listen to my post-game show that I do over on the Crimson Tide Sports Network, Gray is the one that's leading the ship there and does a really good job, and we always have a great time doing it. I wanted to bring him on today. We're going to get him on weekly, I think, moving forward, but wanted to get him on today because he keeps up with the rankings and all of college football, and I know he had a lot of thoughts that he wanted to share, so I'm excited about that. So we'll get that coming up here in a minute. But first, let's go ahead and just give a quick little preview of what we're talking about, right? I'm sure you guys all, if you didn't watch it, which I'll be honest, I didn't watch it live, but you saw the rankings that came out last night. Again, these are the ones that matter. AP and Coaches Poll, it's all great, but college football playoff rankings is, you know, the ultimate ranking system, because this will determine who will have an opportunity in the postseason making playoff runs. Well, I got it pulled up here on the stream for you guys to see. I'll make this a little bit bigger for you guys. If you're like me and you're a little bit challenged visually at times. All right, you've got Ohio State coming in at number one, Indiana coming in at number two, Texas A&M number three, Georgia number four. So the first movement we see here is Georgia taking over that number four spot where we previously were. Texas Tech number five. I'll be honest, man. They got some good players on defense. That Rodriguez guy, linebacker, is a machine. Ole Miss at number six. Number seven, you got Oregon. Oklahoma, number eight. So they jump up about three spots after defeating Alabama at home, 23-21. You got Notre Dame at number nine, and then Alabama at 10. We can just stop there because I think that's the most important thing for right now, at least, right? Because we need to talk about that. Because that was the biggest issue, Chase, that most people, obviously Bama fans, took when the rankings came out yesterday. And look, I get it, right? Because we talk so much about strength of schedule, you know, quality wins. To me, Chase, it just seems counterproductive. It seems a little bit like a contradiction where you got an Alabama football team that played a gauntlet of a schedule. They ran that gauntlet. Then on the latter half of the season, I mean, you're playing against the number 11, which now number eight ranked Oklahoma team, which some people didn't want to give them as much credit as I was giving them, but I say they have one of the best defenses in the country, which, again, that should help us out. You get what I'm saying? I'm trying to hype them up even more because it makes our loss look better. We lose them by 2 points, as bad as we played. And I just feel like, Chase, we got punished pretty harshly for that. In my opinion, a little bit too harsh. I mean, I understand when you look at the other teams, right? I mean, you have to consider all the factors. So, I mean, I understand we're now a two-loss team. So don't get me wrong. I'm not advocating for us necessarily be over, you know, Georgia, Texas Tech, Ole Miss, Oregon, those one-loss teams, even though I'm sure you probably could argue maybe a team like, I don't know, maybe an Oregon or even maybe a Texas Tech, even though they're one-loss teams, Alabama's strength of schedule should hold a little bit more weight than just that extra loss. But we know that's clearly not how they think. But the whole argument with the Notre Dame thing, I'll be honest with you, Chase, I understand the frustration. Now, I'm not in panic mode because I do understand we've got plenty of time left. Alabama wins out, they'll still find themselves in it. It's not really a comparison game. At least it shouldn't be. That shouldn't be your motive right now, your mindset. The most important thing really is to continue to do what you need to do, pick up more wins along the way, and just solidify your spot. Now, obviously, we know we want the best slot possible because, you know, there's perks of, you know, being ranked higher, whether it's, you know, a bye, home field advantage, all that stuff. I understand that. But at the end of the day, you really just need an opportunity. I think that's what you got to push for, especially when you're hovering around that number 10 spot, which Alabama is right now. I had bookmarked a couple of things that I wanted to pull up. And one of those was, as a matter of fact, Wyatt had quoted Hunter Juracek from the committee. And this was his explanation regarding why they decided to put Alabama at number 10, Oklahoma 8, Notre Dame 9. So this is what he said. And I quote, "I'll tell you that we probably spent more time in our committee room comparing two or three teams, Oklahoma, Notre Dame, and Alabama. Alabama had that string where they had four really strong wins at Georgia against Vanderbilt, Missouri, and Tennessee. You look at Notre Dame, they've got a win at Southern Cal, who came in." Just want to throw this out there real quick. Southern Cal is, are they not even in here? Hold on, I thought they were. Are they not even ranked anymore, Chase? Some reason I was thinking, 15th. I'm sorry. I was looking for Southern Cal. I saw USC. Thank you. I'm sorry. Yes, they're 15th. I was like, are they not even ranked? I was drawing a blank. Where were we? Notre Dame. They've got a win at Southern Cal and a dominating win against a Pitt team that was ranked in our top 25. I had to go back and check to see where they're at. I'm not going to waste that real quick. Really, where you break these teams down is it, in the comparison, Notre Dame and Alabama. Notre Dame has losses to two teams that are within the top 13, a three-point loss against Miami to start the season and a one-point loss versus Texas A&M. I'm just going to stop right there because, I mean, there's a number of things we got to break down here and we only got a couple minutes. But to me, this is where it starts sounding a little biased. You notice how he mentions, he throws in like the equation, the first game of the season, right? He mentions that loss against Miami to start the season. Basically, that's implying that, you know, that was the first game of the season. We're taking that into consideration. I don't understand why they're not considering that as strongly with Alabama, or if any, they are considering it strongly, but in the opposite way. They're not giving Alabama grace for it being the first game. It's almost the opposite, where it's just like, yeah, it was the start of the season, but look how bad they looked. It's almost like they're kind of ignoring that in Alabama's case. Goes on to say a three-point loss against Miami to start the season, a one-point loss versus Texas A&M, which I get that. Texas A&M, when I get it, I mean, they're a really good football team. That's fair. Alabama obviously has a two-point loss last week to Oklahoma, but they have that loss at the beginning of the season, 31-17 in Florida State, a team that's now 5-5. Florida State was up in that game 24-7, and they held Alabama less than 100 yards rushing in that game. Really, that was a sign of some of the struggles Alabama was going to have rushing football. So you see where they're going with this. You go back and you look at Alabama's game against South Carolina. They scored two touchdowns late to win that game. So now you can tell the narrative they're painting that, well, they got beat pretty bad against Florida State. Basically, they're saying, yeah, they beat South Carolina, but they weren't impressed because they had to have two late touchdowns. Basically, I can see them basically saying that fumble was almost like a miracle. where that we got late in the game. The next game against LSU, where they won both of those but didn't rush the ball for 100 yards again against Oklahoma, was not able to move the ball on the ground. You look at the games that Alabama has struggled in starting the season against Florida State, where they struggled to run the ball. This is two really good. The losses, right? The quote-unquote bad losses or whatever you want to deem it, which really Alabama only has one. I mean, yes, you could call the Oklahoma one a bad loss given how we played. But to be fair, just like I showed you guys on the tape, which now you guys are definitely probably going to want to agree with me because it makes us look better. It's not like we just, but yes, we played sloppy, but Oklahoma forced a lot of that stuff in that game. They're a good football team. So I understand the concerns they're talking about with the lack of running game, and they're worrying that Alabama could be running out of steam once people start, you know, picking up on the one-dimensional offense that we've seen as of late. But I would just argue that, I mean, you got to understand, too. I mean, when you're playing against good football teams, at least really good defenses that we played, I mean, you're not going to be the most productive output in offense every single week. While we do have challenges, I think they definitely upplayed our challenges, and I think they downplayed a lot of the stuff for the other people. We got to hit a timeout. Trust me, we're just getting started. We got plenty more to talk about this. And we'll do that with Gray Robertson on the other side of this break. When we come back, you'll hear from him and Gray. He's got a lot that he'll share with you guys. Right here on the Miller's Edge, time 100.9, 1230.
Your language learning adventure. This offer ends November 20th. Get Babbel's lifetime access for less for a limited time at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts, where we're now joined by my counterpart, my co-host over on the Crimson Tide Sports Network for the Alabama football post-game show, Gray Robertson. We're just switching roles here. Now I'm driving the ship a little bit, and I'm going to be interviewing Gray for once and getting his expert knowledge. Gray, welcome in, man. Appreciate you joining us before you had to go do shoot around. I know you're a busy guy, so I appreciate you taking some time to hop on here with us.
Absolutely. Always a pleasure to gather together, my friend. And hopefully we have a lot more post-game parties as opposed to post-game shows the rest of the year.
Yeah, not so much of a party this past Saturday, but always fun to get together and talk football with you, my friend, for sure. And that's what we're going to do right here, because I know you've got plenty of thoughts. You keep up great with all the college football. You watch all the games. You're a lot like my dad in that aspect. I try to, but there's only so much I can, you know, input without feeling overloaded. So this is why we were bringing you on here. You're the expert here. And there's a lot of rumblings right now, Gray, as me and you exchanged text messages last night. We all know the elephant in the room, no pun intended. Alabama comes in at number 10, right? A little bit of a surprise there. I think most people are thinking probably around that number 9 spot. And again, I get it. Maybe we're being a little nitpicky, but I think the biggest issue was the explanations and then everything, how it went. But as you saw that come out, Gray, Alabama comes in at number 10, but I think even more surprising, Notre Dame, being in front of them at number 9. What was kind of going through your head?
I was shocked. And one of the things that we talked about a lot last year that I've, you know, come to understand while we've been in the playoff era is it was the clues early in the rankings to figure out where the teams in the top 10 are going to be. And so I'm sitting watching the show last night, and I see Missouri pop up at 22, and I go, cool, Alabama will be at 9. That you add a ranked win. I thought Missouri would be put back in, even though their resume has some holes. I figured as soon as I saw Missouri, that's a great sign for Alabama. You get to 12 Utah, 11 BYU. I'm sitting there. They pop up the 10. I'm assuming it's going to be Notre Dame, and it's Alabama. And I instantly am like, all right, I need to find out why. Like, what led to this? And you know, they had the truncated version of the show last night, so Reese Davis didn't really have a chance to talk to Hunter Yurchek, who is now the chairman and has been thrown into the fire with Mac Rhodes stepping aside. But as I was looking through the resumes, the the only thing I could find where Notre Dame had a quote-unquote clear edge was in game control, which they're ranked fifth in game control according to the metrics that ESPN has. Alabama's 10th. Otherwise, everything else is pretty comparable or favoring the Tide. The other one was Alabama.
What defines that, Gray?
Well, game control is basically how much you dominate an opponent. It's officially labeled as the chance that an average top 25 team would control games from start to end the way that this team did, given the schedule. Then you should, in my opinion, look at strength of schedule, where Alabama's is 4th and Notre Dame's is 29th. So game control was kind of the one area where Notre Dame had an edge, and then the unranked loss for Alabama to Florida State, as opposed to two ranked losses for Notre Dame. So quality losses in game control, and that was the only area where I could find where Notre Dame had an edge. And then sure enough, Hunter Yurcheck goes on the conference call and is asked about this decision, determining who goes ahead, Alabama, Notre Dame, and he cites quote-unquote struggle wins for Alabama over South Carolina and LSU, the loss to Florida State, and I was like, great, okay, quality losses and game control. And it's just fascinating to me that it appears this year the committee is valuing losses a lot heavier than they are the quality wins. That's not been the way it's typically gone. And it's interesting that seems to be what they're looking at the most right now.
Yeah, I agree. And the other thing that stood out to me is, he referenced the running game or the lack of running. I mean, do you remember them diving that deep into their breakdowns or, I guess, their impressions of these football teams? I just felt like they really leaned into the negatives for Alabama. And listen, I know I always get on people about wearing crimson glasses, or at least my dad does, and I'm trying not to, but I just can't help but notice when I hear him talk about Texas A&M and the way they came back in the second half and how they really looked like that top-ranked team that second half, which I can understand that argument or at least that perspective, but what I don't understand is how that doesn't necessarily apply in other situations, just like Alabama. They completely view the South Carolina game as almost saying like, oh, Alabama got lucky and scored two late touchdowns. Versus A&M, I know I get it's a totally different situation, but did you feel like they kind of brought the hammer down or leaned into the negatives for Alabama a little bit more than maybe some other teams?
I think so. I have two thoughts here. One, I really don't care how you do it, just that you win. I'm a believer in if you win impressively, that's awesome. But if you win at all, I mean, you know this, you won a lot in your college career. Winning is hard. I mean, and I think a lot of people take for granted how difficult it is to win, period, in sports, because there are other people on the other side who are trying to do the same thing. It is not something that you can just do easily. And so I think, poo-pooing certain wins just because they weren't by as much as you thought it should be is a little off base. And the other thing, I think the committee's just not saying the quiet part out loud. I think they just think Notre Dame's better than Alabama, which if that's what they think, fine, go for it. But say that as opposed to drawing upon some statistics that frankly that don't really strike me as something that you should dock a team about. I mean, if Alabama's running game is so terrible, like the committee makes it sound, then how did they win those four ranked games? That would be my follow-up question.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's a great point. Were there any other shockers too, Gray, when this list came out? Anything that stood out to you or that made you scratch your head or, I don't know, just completely just caught you off guard?
Well, I think the discussion about Miami is fascinating because, again, we talk all the time about head-to-head. Miami is still being kind of kept at arm's length away from Notre Dame. I do wonder, once those teams get closer, if Miami will end up passing Notre Dame. And then, but again, we have time until we get there. The other one that really struck me was Texas at 17 and Michigan at 18. There was some thought, I know we talked about it slightly on the show Saturday night, and to all the people out there who listen, thank you for listening 2 hours after the Alabama game ends on the Crimson Tide Sports Network. I didn't necessarily think three-loss Texas was out of it. I now don't even know unless they just destroy Texas A&M, I'm not sure I see a path for Texas to get back in. But what's interesting is them being ranked ahead of Michigan, who's 8-2. If Michigan were to beat Maryland this weekend, which I think they will, and then do what they've done the last 3 or 4 years and beat Ohio State, they wouldn't make the Big Ten championship. Odds are it would probably be Oregon or USC. I don't know if 10-2 Michigan can get into the playoff. And that was something that I thought would be a possibility, but I'm not totally sure I see it at this point. 18 as of November 19th might just be too low to have a chance to make the bracket.
Gray, we're joined by Gray Robertson of the Crimson Tide Sports Network, co-host of me on the post-game party show that we do on the network, also analyst broadcaster for the SEC Network. Gray, let me ask you this. We know there's the SEC championship game. I don't want to jump ahead because we know we've got Eastern Illinois. We know we've got to go on the road and beat Auburn. But as of right now, everything's still in front of Alabama. You win those games, you're expected to be in the SEC championship game. Seeing the rankings from last night, is there any concern on your part that if Alabama does in fact make that game, but say for whatever reason they lose that game, is there any reason that Alabama fans should be concerned that if we lose the SEC championship game, we don't make the playoffs at all?
I will say no with a caveat. I personally don't see a team getting punished for losing in a conference championship like that unless you get destroyed. I mean, and that was the scenario we were talking about last year, right, with SMU. Like, if Clemson blows them out, is that enough to knock out SMU? It ended up being a close game. Kid from Clemson made a 61-yard field goal to win it. It was evident, even though that, you know, arguments could be made for Alabama's inclusion in the field, that SMU was probably going to be the final team. I think that as long as you play close, even if it's a loss, it would be really a dangerous precedent for the committee to set to knock the losing team out of the playoff picture. Now, you get crushed, you did it to yourself. But I think, Christian, we can probably both agree, I'm not sure Alabama is a team capable of crushing or being crushed this year. So I would feel pretty confident that it would at least be a tight game, because I think that's what we're conditioned with this current Alabama football iteration.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. And right now where it stands, if the playoffs were set today, number 10 Alabama would face Oregon, who's at number 7, and the winner of that game would face Indiana, who would have a bye. So would be a little bit more of a challenge than what we saw last week if it was set where Alabama was set. But again, all you need is an opportunity and you got to go from there. Great. One last question before I let you go. So I know you got to get into the shoot around. Do you feel like the way they're handling Alabama right now, and I know I sound like, I mean, we've got crimson glasses on right now, but who cares? Do you feel like the way Alabama is being viewed by the committee right now and judged so harshly with their losses and not given as much respect as many people believe they should for their wins, their quality wins and their strength of schedule, do you think that could start to maybe, I guess, influence Greg Sankey to start really looking more into the scheduling and the things like that? We always talk about the SEC, because I hate to say it, but this kind of proves why people are a little hesitant before you're adding a whole bunch of extra SEC games and whatnot, because it to me at least, it seems like it's given the impression they don't really value that as much as most people do.
Well, I hope it doesn't, but if Commissioner Sankey is good at his job, which he is, it probably is. And that's not what we want in football, right? But the problem is this committee was put together to see through, well, they're undefeated, or, well, they just have one loss. And they're kind of doing that. I mean, BYU, Georgia Tech, they're ranked 11-16 because their strength of schedule stinks. And I get that. But at the same time, I don't see teams getting a ton of credit for quality wins. And then I look at teams like Oregon, whose strength of schedule's in the 30s, which is fine, but it's nothing spectacular. Or, you know, Ole Miss's resume is not exactly thriving either. So I think that it's possible that those discussions happen inside the conference office. I know they're moving to the 9 conference games, and you know that's set until I believe 29, and then they'll cycle it over again. So there wouldn't be anything that could be done in the immediate, but it could certainly influence the way that teams schedule out of conference. And I'll also add one point, because I thought Greg McElroy said something on the show last night that was really, really astute. If the committee is punishing Alabama the way that they are for losing to Oklahoma, Ole Miss, when you play the Egg Bowl, Oregon this weekend against USC, Oklahoma against Missouri this weekend, there are a lot of teams who, you know, Oklahoma kind of aside, but I'm specifically looking at Ole Miss and Oregon. There are a lot of teams who don't have resumes as strong as Alabama, and their biggest sticking point is just having one loss. If you lose that game, you might be out. So it's going to be interesting to see the mentality for a lot of those programs as they come down the stretch of this regular season, because the committee has set a precedent. And if they don't follow through on that, then I will have even more questions about this entire process.
Yeah, unfortunately, I feel like we're all going to have some questions over the next couple of weeks as things wind down. Seems like they're a little all over the place. But, hey, looks like it's going to be a very entertaining college football playoff. At least hopefully that's the case. And hopefully we see Alabama there. Gray, I appreciate you joining me, man. Really good stuff. And tell everybody before you go, man, what's on tap for you next? You got the shoot around. What games do you call in this week, and how can everybody listen to you?
Well, you know, it's a busy day on the Crimson Tide Sports Network. We've got men's basketball up in Chicago against Illinois. That'll be a great game. I'll be on the call for women's basketball against Stanford tonight at 6 o'clock Central Time on SEC Network Plus. Jordan Lewis and Nathan Brown, we're the broadcast team. We're going to have a great show. Hannah Barber is making her return as an assistant at Stanford. We've got some good stories and good tape that we're going to plug. And then you and me, Christian, on Saturday after Alabama and Eastern Illinois, and you can bet I will have not just the rundown and all my notes, but I will have a, let's just say, in-depth packet with playoff scenarios that I'm sure we will get to over our hour and change on the air.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, it's definitely going to be some interesting stuff then. But you heard the man. Listen to him on the Crimson Tide Sports Network. Women's basketball, he'll be calling that. But you're right, men's basketball does play tonight as well. So make sure you guys tune into the Crimson Tide Sports Network to catch all of that action. And then, like you mentioned as well, Saturday, you can hear us doing our post-game party. And definitely believe it's going to be much more of a party this weekend. Gray, my friend, I appreciate you hopping on. We'll definitely do it again soon, or maybe next week after the rankings come out again, get a quick little update, and have a great call tonight.
Absolutely. Thank you, my friend. See you soon.
Yes, sir. Sounds good, brother. Good deal. That was Gray Robertson, again, co-host with me over on the Crimson Tide Sports Network, plus analyst broadcaster for them there and SEC Network as well. So you heard the man. Gray's got all the knowledge when it comes to this, so let me know what you guys thought about what he said, if you definitely agree with them, or if you have any comments. We'll talk about it when we come back right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.
Hey, everybody, it's Gary Harris from the Gary Harris Show here at Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC, wishing you and your family a very happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-988.
Get the Mercedes-Benz of Tuscaloosa before your friends do.
On select models with approved credit while supplies last. Stock number L2417. Taxes and fees extra. See dealer for details.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping
semaglutide injection 0.5, 1, and 2 milligrams.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Partially sunny and warm this afternoon. The high today around 80. Tonight fair, the low 59. Tomorrow partly to mostly sunny, the high 81. Friday cloudy with periods of rain. Friday's high in the middle 70s at 75. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 73 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. We just got done talking with Gray Robertson of the Crimson Tide Sports Network. Again, you can catch Gray this evening. He'll be doing the call for Alabama women's basketball to take on Samford. And don't forget, you can also listen to the Crimson Tide Sports Network with Chris Stewart and company covering Alabama men's basketball, who also will be playing tonight. And then Saturday, you can always catch me and Gray doing the post-game party show on the Crimson Tide Sports Network as well. So really good stuff from Gray, and I think I'm going to try to start getting him on here once a week as well. So we're building up our little, what do you call it, man? Our little network here. We're doing like weekly interviews and stuff, man. I think it's really good. I think you guys really enjoy the interviews, so I'm looking forward to it. Again, we had Clint Lamb yesterday. Have him on Tuesdays. Maybe we'll do Gray on Wednesdays. And I don't know, man. It seems like we're rolling. It's been fun. Really good stuff. So thank you to all our guests that joined the show. We're talking about the whole playoff picture again. If you guys are just tuning in, Alabama last night unveiled at number 10 behind Notre Dame. A lot of question marks there, head scratching there, given Alabama's quality wins. Looked like the committee leaned into the losses instead. I don't know if it's just me, but I kind of feel like the committee, I just made this comment during the break, I almost feel like the committee is like, I wouldn't say encouraging the drama, because I don't think like that's like on the forefront. Don't get me wrong. I'm not one of these conspiracy theorists that's just like, oh, I bet the committee's intentionally put in Alabama here just so they can stir up the pot. I don't think it's that. But I almost feel like that was kind of part of, I don't know, like the whole bringing the whole committee, like the expanded playoffs and the whole show. I mean, let's just be honest. Like, we know when it comes down to it, it's about engagement. It's about making money, all that good stuff. Like, they know what they're doing. If that didn't matter, they wouldn't be doing a whole show each week. They would just, at the end of the year, have one announcement of the rankings, right? So part of me does feel like they kind of, I'm not saying they do it for that purpose, but they enjoy kind of the pot being stirred a little bit. It gets, again, like Superfly said, I think the more kind of drama, the more, I guess, head-scratching decisions, it draws more attention, more eyeballs. So who knows? But yeah, exactly. Just like Paul said as well, drama equals clicks, clicks equals advertising, advertising equals money. So hopefully that's not too much of the case, but you can't help but wonder that just the way they were talking. I mean, but who knows? That being said, I also think that could work out for us. Now I really saw conspiracy theories. There's just no way we were talking about this. I mean, the whole SEC championship thing, there's no way you leave Alabama out in the playoffs. With the quality wins that we have, I mean, before this Oklahoma loss, they had us at number 4. So they knew the whole deal about the Florida State thing. I forgot about that point. That was another thing that I was thinking about, Chase. Before the Oklahoma loss, they had us at number 4, and they definitely respected the hell out of us. Number 1, to have us at number 4, but number 2, just, I mean, like, their view on Alabama was totally different. Now, I get it. We did play really bad in the Oklahoma game. And maybe this is, I guess, if I had to give an example, Chase, maybe it's one of those things where it's like we had a big gash, a big wound from week one. And a lot of people were seeing that. And over time, with all the good wins, it was getting covered up and it was healing and it looked good. And right as that wound was about healed, man, we're about good and back all normal. The Oklahoma game was just like ripping the Band-Aid off, and now everybody's back to looking at that wound like, oh, man, yeah, Alabama team, man. Because it's almost like they have ingrained. Because remember, it was like that for the few weeks after Florida State, the following games when we were picking up wins. It wasn't until like, you know, not week 2, not week 3, week 4, whatever. The Georgia game was a big boost, but we continue to build like the trust and gain back that respect. Like, it wasn't built overnight, but it's crazy how after one game against Oklahoma, even though we looked pretty bad, that is like all that trust and respect kind of, and it maybe wasn't one game because they did mention South Carolina, LSU. I don't know. Maybe I am. Maybe this shake that I'm drinking, it is red. I mean, it's a berry smoothie, man. Maybe it does have some crimson Kool-Aid like my dad was talking about it. I might be drinking a little crimson Kool-Aid, Chase. What do you think, man? I wouldn't be shocked if there's some in there. We got to hit a timeout. We come back. We'll be joined by Ricky up next on the phone lines, hear what he's got to say. And we'll keep on rolling on this Wednesday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app. From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Steve DeSager.
Cincinnati Bengals star wide receiver Ja'Marr Chase is out this weekend. His one-game suspension was upheld. Texans quarterback C.J. Stroud with a concussion will miss a third straight game this Thursday against the Bills. In the new college football playoff rankings, the top three stayed the same, led by number one Ohio State. Georgia's up to number four. Oklahoma's now number eight. Alabama, number 10. To college basketball, there was a doubleheader at Madison Square Garden, and Michigan State beat Kentucky in a top 20 matchup, 83-66. Then number 5 Duke was a winner over Kansas, 78-66. Number 21 Arkansas edged Winthrop, 84-83. In the NBA, the Lakers' Luka Doncic scored 37 points in a win over Utah. LeBron James in his season debut had 11 points, 12 assists. Detroit won its 11th game in a row. U.S. men's soccer won its exhibition against Uruguay, 5-1.
The Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi, online at pearlriverresort.com, and by Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, online at tuscaloosacdjr.com, and by Two Dimes, online at twodimes.club, and by Druid City Regional Medical Center, dchsystem.com.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down. It's time for the Miller's Edge with New York Giants legend and South Carolina Hall of Famer Corey Miller and his son, four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
And knocked down again, it was Christian Miller.
Here is college football playoff national champion Christian Miller on Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC.
Into this Wednesday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. Big thanks to Gray Robertson, again, who just joined us, analyst broadcaster for the Crimson Tide Sports Network, SEC Network, and my co-host with the post-game party show that we do on the network. So big thanks to him joining us. And now we're kicking off hour number two. We do need to get to Kalen DeBoer. He did his SEC teleconference today. We'll play that here in a minute. But first, I want to go back to the phone lines. We got Ricky up next. Ricky, welcome in.
What's going on, man?
Not much, man. Just talking a little college football playoffs, man.
Well, as it stands, it looks like we have like five teams going to the playoffs. It's really like, at least for the SEC, it's really the conference title game. That's like the interesting thing about like all of it, because right now it's a three-way tie between three teams.
So, and that would be three-way tie between Alabama, Georgia, and Ole Miss right now. Could you say Texas A&M is still undefeated?
Because Texas A&M is still undefeated. Like so, and the only way that it would kind of be a four-way tie is if Texas beats A&M, but if A&M loses, and you have to kind of figure out between the four teams, I think it'll end up being Georgia with the rematch against Alabama.
Mm-hmm. But it's not really a three-way tie, though, if you think about it, because it comes down to the head-to-head. Well, all those teams do have one loss. Alabama has the head-to-head over Georgia, then Georgia has the head-to-head over Ole Miss. So technically, it's not three-way. I mean, by one loss rule, yeah, but you get what I'm saying? Technically, I mean, there is an order. It would be Texas A&M, Bama, Georgia, Ole Miss. Isn't that right?
Texas A&M, Georgia, Bama, Georgia, Ole Miss. I mean, yes.
You get what I'm saying? Because of the head-to-head, because Alabama beat Georgia, but Georgia beat Georgia beat Ole Miss. So that's how I'm looking at it. I don't know officially. That's just off the top of my head. But then I guess you have to look at who has to play who. I know Texas plays Texas A&M. Alabama finishes with Auburn. I'm trying to think of who Ole Miss. I think Ole Miss finishes with what, maybe Florida or something? Or did they already play them?
I think they got the Egg Bowl coming
Bowl.
Up.
I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right.
And Georgia is done with conference play. So, like, they got Georgia Tech at the end of the year.
That's right. So, well, don't they have two games left? Who do they play this week?
I'll
look it up. All I know is, I mean, look, if Bama wins out, they're in it. I mean, they're in the SEC championship game regardless if they win out. Let me ask you this, though, because I know you made the comment. You think regardless, Alabama's going to be in the playoffs if they make the SEC championship, regardless if they win it or lose it. You don't see a scenario, Ricky, where say we lost by two scores, which I don't expect that to happen, but just say it did. You don't think, given how the committee's already judging their criteria, that they wouldn't consider leaving a three-loss Alabama out, that third loss was a two-score loss? They're already complaining about us not running the football.
Well, I hear the argument for it. So that excuse came from, it was really the SMU thing because of their schedule and their conference. Mm-hmm. I don't think they'll do that with we would have to lose by like 21 for them to really be like, okay, they aren't like cut out to, like, we can't like squeeze a 9-3 team in that regard. But like, I don't think they'll leave us out. Like, I think they did that with SMU because the idea of the idea was we can't punish people, quote unquote, for making their title game and losing. But SMU's schedule last year was so bad. I think they just needed to justify like putting them in. So if you had to choose a 9-3 team, because Clemson, I think Clemson lost three games last year and got in.
They did, but they were conference champions, right?
They were. That's the thing. So it was that whole thing was just kind of weird last year. It was the first. It was the first time we've done like 12 teams. So like I think this group of people are so random, and their excuses for like a lot of this stuff as to why they make these decisions doesn't really like necessarily make sense. Like I was honestly fine with the ranking. I think the only one that didn't really make sense to me was like Notre Dame. It's because of their reasoning, I guess, for having them at 9 and Alabama at 10, which is whatever to me. Like I just I just didn't want to be in that 11 and 12 spot, because then you don't really have control of your destiny.
Yeah, that's why you have no choice but to win out, definitely regular season. But that's why I still think the SEC championship game could be interesting given how it goes. Because if you look at, Oregon, I think they have Stanford and Syracuse left. I'd imagine they win those games. So they end up one loss team. You got Oklahoma, who's in front of us right now. I don't even remember who they finished with. I'd have to go back and look at,
Well, I think Oklahoma, I'm trying to figure out if they have...
they've got Missouri this weekend, and they've got LSU to finish things. So they still got two, I call them tougher tests. Because those aren't just like some cupcakes. Georgia's got Charlotte this weekend, and then they've got Georgia Tech, who is a good football team. What I'm getting at is it's interesting. And you really going to have to see how these last 2 weeks go, because there's definitely going to be some other teams are still going to lose. And once there's another loss or two with some of these other teams, I can definitely see much clearer if, okay, we could lose the SEC championship game and not have much to be worried about. Even though I think there's a good chance if you lose it, you still are in there regardless. But given how the other teams finished. Yeah, I'm talking about the SEC championship game.
Right. Because any other conference doesn't have that luxury. Like, I don't think the Big 12, the loser of the Big 12, or the loser of the ACC get 10. I think they would rather have five competitive SEC teams because I think the ACC, I think every team in the ACC has like two or more losses, like every team except for Georgia Tech.
Yeah, the ACC is a joke. Let's see right now. Let me pull this up, make it bigger. Right now, is there even an ACC, Miami? That's it. Miami's the only ACC team that would even be in the playoffs right now. And Miami's okay. They're good, but they really good defensive players for sure. Carson Beck's a little inconsistent. I think they're a solid team, but outside of them, maybe Georgia Tech.
I think talent-wise, Miami is in the country.
They got good players.
Talent-wise.
They got good players for sure. They got good players but I just don't know if I trust them.
Well, I don't trust any team in the ACC. I thought, I think there were at least 3 to 4 games where you expected a certain team from the SEC to win. I meant the ACC to win, and they just didn't. Pitt, West Virginia isn't good at all, and Pitt just dropped that game even though they were up by 2 scores. The SEC, the ACC, I keep saying that. The ACC is kind of a not really a good conference, so they can't afford to lose their conference title game. Big 12 is kind of unique. I think they'll only pick one, but if they do decide to have two teams, and I think they'll let that slide. Notre Dame being the independent, they're kind of in. They just have to win out. And I think there's not much grace for a 2-loss Big Ten team, and that's because their schedules aren't necessarily as strong. If Indiana or Ohio State had 2 losses, I don't think they would, regardless of them making their championship, their conference title game, I don't think they'll let the loser of that into the playoff because their schedule is a little bit weaker.
That's something to consider for sure. And now that I think about it, I want to say the only reason that Miami is in this playoff ranking yet and not. Yeah, that's exactly why. They have them being the ACC champion. It's not even because of their ranking. They're coming in at 13. But you're right. Hopefully they view it like that. But I don't know, Ricky, because, you see how they talk about Notre Dame. I don't know, man. You would hope that's the mindset that they have. They consider that. But I just don't think they respect the quality of the SEC the same way that a lot of us do. And not that it's biased on our part. I think it's just a fact. I mean, if you ask any of these NFL scouts, I mean, they'll without a doubt tell you the SEC is the better conference.
Well, that's
now,
why...
I get this. Big Ten is a good conference. Don't get me wrong. I mean, like, they're, and it's close, but I mean, just look at the SEC, man. Top to bottom, look at the SEC.
I mean, that's why the excuse was weird, because they said that what was it? It was they were more impressed by the losses of Notre Dame versus the losses of Alabama instead of the quality of wins. So they already made it weird.
Well, that just sounds like that's like a loser mentality, kind of like, well, this loss looked a little bit better than that. And then instead of completely, and then they're ignoring like the challenges of actually going and winning football games. It's like their attention is too much on, you know what I'm saying? Because Alabama's got four ranked wins.
I don't know if that was a loser mentality why they did that. I think that was more so as we need an excuse to keep this two-loss Notre Dame in. Because I think they know, like, if Alabama wins out, it doesn't matter where they place them. They're in, regardless of what happens in the SEC title game. I think they just need an excuse to keep Notre Dame in. But that's not really the biggest like chaos thing that can happen, because USC can honestly, they can beat Oregon, and then Oregon is out of there. Then their whole thing is like messed up, and they have to kind of restart this whole process with bad excuses as to why they might have like a certain team where they have them. I just thought it was, I didn't think it was a loser thing. I thought it was a, like, they just need an excuse to do something, which was stupid.
Well, let's just hope that. I'm just saying in general, to me, when you turn your attention to justifying, like, what loss looks better versus, to me, the most important thing, the wins, and you're talking
the
about
wins,
Alabama having four ranked wins versus, well, this team, well, they lost the very beginning of the year by this amount. Like, instead of saying this team played four straight ranked opponents back to back to back to back and went 4-0. And then ended up losing to a very sound Oklahoma team. And I call them sound because I can't call them elite because the offense doesn't match it. But the defense, in my eyes, that is pretty elite of a defense, and an offense that is good enough to complement it. We lose by 2 points there. Just, I don't know, personally, man, I'm just like, I think that sounds like a loser mentality. And again, I'm being harsh on just because I'm, to me, wins and quality wins should matter more than the fashion and how you lose, man. If a win is a win, then a loss should be a loss. Granted, I understand the eye test because I do consider that, but I don't know. I just feel like they're discrediting the strength of schedule thing. And to me, that contradicts the whole thing about if you want the SEC to play more games and add more in-conference games, how does this encourage that while seeing that they've kind of just saying, yeah, well, you played four ranked games in a row, but you didn't run the ball too well, man. So we just don't know what it means as much. To me, that's just kind of...
You can't really go back to... I don't know if you can go back to doing it the old way of, like, 14
BCS?
Or even, like, BCS. I don't think you can. You've made so much money now, and like there's an opportunity for like these teams that if they do have, like, you have Ohio State, like any other year, Ohio State losing two games, they ain't going nowhere. Like any other year, but like in this type of format, like you can kind of risk losing two games and you can still win a national championship. So like I don't think they'll ever go back. I think they just need to, like, I don't know. I feel like they need a different group of people that's actually better at doing this to make these calls. I think that's what it is.
Yeah, I mean, they should have some. I got to go look at the committee for this year. They normally have some people with some backgrounds. problem is it's hard to get current active people because bias and obvious issues.
Do you know
there,
how many people?
How many people? What in total there is in the committee?
Like,
or?
I have to actually look that up myself, but I don't really know how. I think it's like 12 to 15 people, like just in a room making these decisions.
Let's see. You got here. I pulled up real quick before we hit this break. 2025, 2026 committee. You've got 12 members. It is. And I had to click on each person. I didn't pay attention to it this year. I know me and my dad joked about it, I think, the year before, but I'll go back and look and see kind of what the background is on some of these guys just to, I don't know, humor myself. But Ricky, we appreciate you, man. We'll hit this time out.
All right, guys.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you, brother. Good deal. All right. We're going to hit the time out. We come back. We're going to hear from head coach Kalen DeBoer, who did his weekly SEC teleconference call. We'll do that right after this quick timeout. You listen to the Miller's Edge Time 100.
For talented candidates to find it, which makes it easier for you to hire them. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Partially sunny and warm this afternoon. The high today around 80. Tonight fair, the low 59. Tomorrow partly to mostly sunny, the high 81. Friday cloudy with periods of rain. Friday's high in the middle 70s at 75. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 73 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
WTVC. We've been talking a whole bunch about this whole playoff conversation and all the stuff that comes with it, right? All the implications. Alabama, if they play in the SEC championship game, do they still see themselves as a lock when it comes to the playoffs? If for whatever reason they don't win that game, a lot of discussion. But let's take a little bit of a detour here. We'll get back to the playoff talk here in a minute. But first, I want to go and listen to head coach Kalen DeBoer, who he spoke to the, media via his SEC coaches teleconference call that he does every Wednesday. And here it is. This is what the head coach had to say.
Clark Central on SEC Plus. To ask a question for Coach DeBoer, please use the raise hand function. And Coach, while we wait on any questions today, if you could take a moment to comment on your squad as you prepare for this week's game.
Yep, you bet. Just getting ready for week 11, and got senior day this week. So it's something with 27 guys, scholarship, 16 players, and walk-ons 11. Just really proud of these guys and the way they've either stayed the course when they were here, guys that have come into our program, how they've added to our culture, and looking forward to another big week of preparation. You know, working to be our best. Last week, obviously, fell short against a very good Oklahoma team. It was a battle the entire game. I love the fight in our guys. You know, felt good about the execution and how we've improved there, both defensively and even offensively. I think we played against a very good defense and moved the ball consistently. Obviously, the turnovers hurt us, and every play matters, and that's where we fell short.
All right, first up, we have Colin Gay, Tuscaloosa News.
Hey, Kalen, do you have an update on Parker Brailsford's status going into Saturday?
He's a little bit up in the air with where he's at for this week, just from Saturday.
And I guess to follow up on that, with Parker's status up in the air, can you just take us through the development of a guy like Joseph Iannotta, like what you've seen out of him on the practice field and how much he's grown over the course of this year?
Yeah, I think Joe's very similar to many of our guys on our roster that just continue to work. And, you know, you see the regulars out on the football field each and every Saturday. But there are definitely guys behind the scenes that are just grinding away in the weight room, on the field, owning the day and the opportunity they get to go compete. And he's one of them. He's understanding the game better from a football IQ. The center position is very important. He's in a spot where, you know, you put him out there and you feel good about what's going to happen when he's snapped the football.
Awesome. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Next is Mike Griffith with the AJC.
Coach, with respect to controlling the controllables, I know you're not one to dive deep into CFP metrics, but let's face it, a lot of people saw how far Alabama fell and took a look at some of the teams that you were ranked behind, despite your resume. Did you have a reaction that you'd be willing to share with us on that?
I guess my whole focus is, and this is honestly got truth. I mean, I didn't even see the show. I saw the rankings pop up on a ESPN app on my phone, took a quick look at it and went back to work and didn't read into anything. I just know that, you know, we have a ton of quality wins. I know that they really look strongly at the losses, but last week was against a very good football team. And I think we've played a lot of really good football. We've shown consistency and improvement throughout the year, and a lot of improvement. And we got to do our job here the rest of the way and make sure we just keep taking care of business. We have a lot of things that we are playing for. And, on top, the main thing, though, is that we keep improving, because there are certainly areas that we continue to address and stress. Obviously the turnover thing popped up this weekend, something that we've been very good at. And so that's one example of an area where we got to continue to work.
Thanks, Coach. Appreciate it.
Yep.
Next will be Nick Kelly of AL.com.
Hey, Kellen, in the Oklahoma game, where'd you feel that your team took steps in running game, and where do you still want to see improvement?
Yeah, I feel like we sustained blocks. I feel like our communication was better. I think there were some running lanes for us to run through. Normal down at distances, there was an average, I think, that was probably better than pretty much most of the teams that have played Oklahoma. And for us, that was better than what we've done the last month, for sure, against a very good defense. Short yardage, goal line, we punched it in. We've struggled there early in the season. And so, there really wasn't a feeling like we couldn't run the football. We were finding a lot of success in the passing game. And I understand that there was an interception for a touchdown and a strip sack. That certainly was, a killer for us. But we felt very good moving the football up and down the field.
Next is Steve Moulton, WZZN.
Hey, Coach, hope you're doing well today, sir.
Yes, you too.
Thank you, Coach. On the subject of that run game, something Coach Grubb mentioned that on Monday as well on the offensive line, but how well do you think Jim Miller is playing right now for you, Coach?
Well, I think there's a lot that Jim brings to us, and there's improvement, I think, that's happened here last weekend, and it's, everyone points to offensive line. I think there's improvements with the running backs, and they're gonna miss a beam once in a while. We understand that, and we're gonna miss a block once in a while. That's football. I mean, that's every team. Jam's a guy that, probably the one of the most disappointing things was, and he would tell you the same thing. He let a bit too much penetration get through on a pass pro, early in the game. And he and Ty working together along with the offensive line, we took a sack there in one of the first series of the game. But those are things that he's superb at and does a great job. And I'm not going to lose trust. We just got to continue to put him in spots and practice in all of these ways, whether he's carrying the ball or not, to where there's good flow, there's good rhythm, there's good confidence for everyone.
And, Coach, I know at least but we like to focus on guys that are improving throughout the year, but I'm curious from your standpoint of consistent guys, of guys that normally don't get the spotlight shown on them. Tell me a little bit about who do you think is the most consistent player that you have on your football team this year, Coach?
Most consistent. I mean, that's a lot of guys. I mean, I think Jeremy Bernard has just been really consistent from start to finish, you know. And it's as a receiver, and that's what you see a lot of. But, you know, I felt like he raised his game, you know, as a blocker. And, you know, there were some run game things that he got involved with, helped create some explosives. And, you know, we focus so much up front. I mean, those guys are the ones that can help pop big plays, and his effort all around and his leadership. I would say he's probably the most consistent. I mean, Parker would be up there as well as one of the guys most consistent this year from start to finish so far.
Thank you, Coach.
Yep.
A lot of praise for the former Washington players that followed their head coach here. Rightfully so, man. Both guys playing some good football for us. Very consistent. Like you mentioned, we got to hit a timeout. When we come back, we'll respond to want to get y'all's thoughts. Anything that stood out? I know one thing that stood out to me was the availability of Parker Brails. We're speaking of him. Excuse me. Luckily, we got Eastern Illinois this game, but definitely probably want to monitor that. When you travel to Auburn, you best believe you want your starting center with you, especially given the hostile environment and everything that comes with that offensively. So hopefully he'll be all good to go 100% for that one, for sure. If he has to sit this week, I think he'll be fine, but definitely want to keep an eye out for that. Listening to the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTVC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Art Sport Experts. Quick timeout. Be right back.
Your flagship home of Alabama sports. We are a championship school, and school is in session.
Makes a catch, makes them bang into each other, stays on his feet, breaks a tackle, scores, scores, scores.
Join us Saturday as the Crimson Tide take on the Eastern Illinois Panthers. Our coverage begins at 10 a.m. on your home for Alabama football.
Presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online
and up offering fuel efficiency, advanced technology, and plush comfort. Tuscaloosa Mazda, 3100 Skyland Boulevard East, or online at tuscaloosamazda.com.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-91.
Our communities.
This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strongest steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rentals. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation...
Wait to start your language learning adventure. This offer ends November 20th. Get Babbel's lifetime access for less for a limited time at Babbel.com. That's BABBEL.com.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
And welcome back into this Wednesday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9. 1230 WTBC. Hey, real quick, don't forget about our friends over at R&R Cigars. Of course, they've got plenty of cigars for you. I know we've got a lot of cigar smokers that listen to this show. Make sure you guys use that code Miller's Edge to get that discount on the website, rnrcigars.com. Plus, if you're ever looking for a place, a great place to go watch, you know, your favorite games, whether it's basketball tonight, football on the weekends, baseball in the spring, look no further than R&R Cigars, man. They got TVs in there, plenty of cigars, over 160 bourbons. Great place to go hang out, fellowship, and kick back and relax at the mansion right there, 2703 Gary Fifth Street here in Tuscaloosa. So don't forget about that. But even more important, they're doing that food drive. So don't forget, if you got any food that you're able to donate, a lot of people in need that are going without, might not be able to feed themselves or their families, R&R Cigars is partnering with the Tuscaloosa Emergency Group to hold that fundraiser and raise food for that. So non-perishable items, canned goods, all that good stuff, the typical things that you typically donate that can last, right? Make sure you guys keep that in mind. And they do pay you back by giving you half off of one cigar if you choose to do that. So make sure you guys do that. You can go donate at any time that they're open. Just check their schedule because I know it varies throughout the week and on the weekends, but it's pretty much all day and late into the evenings most of the time. Just go drop that food off right there and they'll take it right there to R&R Cigars. So goal is to feed 5,000 families. So make sure you guys help them with that goal, especially during this holiday season. A lot of us are very fortunate and have situations where we're not necessarily worried about food. We're probably worried about some other stuff. A lot of people don't have that luxury. So make sure you guys keep that in mind. All right, I want to hit this real quick. Speaking of the playoffs and the SEC championship games, the scenarios, all this stuff, former Alabama quarterback Greg McElroy, a lot of y'all's favorite commentator, right? That's a joke. I think he does a great job, by the way. I think he gets too much flack. But anyway, this is him. He posts a video on the ESPN page of Always College Football, pretty much advocating or explaining why he feels like Alabama will, in fact, make the playoffs regardless if they win or lose the SEC championship game.
I don't think it's likely because the committee showed it last year, and we know that every year the committee's different. There's different voices, there's different values, there's different metrics. Every year it's different. But we said this last year at SMU. SMU, the week before the conference championship games, was ranked in the college football playoff field. I think they were 8, maybe they were 7. They had to go play a game when other teams that they were being measured against were sitting at home. So we asked the question, well, if SMU gets beat, will they be penalized? And the committee proved to us last year that they would not. So I think that that's something that's very interesting. I think a conference championship game, based on what the committee showed us in the past, a conference championship game is only fit to strengthen your position and seeding as a college football playoff team. It cannot likely be used against you in the event in which you don't play well when no one else is having to play. So that, I think, is going to be a fascinating dynamic. And the best example of this would be Alabama in this scenario because they sit right now at 10. A win against Auburn, a win against Eastern Illinois isn't likely to strengthen their position. The only way they're moving up is if someone in front of them loses, which can happen for sure. But there's nothing right now on their regular season resume that could move them up. So the only way that they can move up at this point is by beating Texas A&M in the SEC championship game or beating Georgia or whoever it is that they would play against, maybe Ole Miss in an unlikely scenario. So yes, Bama can benefit from the SEC championship, but if we use 2024 as an example, it's unlikely that they would be penalized for having to play the extra game.
So I agree for the most part, but I guess what my pushback would be, well, SMU last year, I think, going into that ACC championship game, Chase, were they just a one-loss team at that point? They have any? I don't think they were undefeated. I think they were a one-loss team at the time. Let me see. SMU 2024 football schedule. And I know they didn't play anybody. They didn't have nearly the same strength of schedule. But let's see. 2024, they ended up 11-3 overall. Let's see. So they lost to BYU third week in the year. But after that, they pretty much ran the table until they got their second loss. Right. So they were a one-loss team. And that loss to Clemson made them a two-loss team. This would make us a three-loss team. So that would be my only question. Not necessarily pushback, but just I guess that would make me wonder if that would be a different scenario, especially given how they're already talking about Alabama. And like he said, the other games, the Eastern Illinois, absolutely not. Auburn's still not going to give you many brownie points, knowing their record, even though they are probably going to be a challenging opponent just because of all the other circumstances. Not going to win anything there in terms of the eyes of the committee. So I don't know. I still think Greg's probably right. You still make the playoffs, but I wouldn't be as confident as some others have been. Just hearing what the committee's talking about. And I don't even know if I put as much confidence just going back to 2024, given that SMU was a one-loss team at that time. Alabama would be a two-loss team before suffering their third. But again, you have to see what the rest of the field also does in their remaining couple games as well. So definitely going to be some interesting stuff, man. And to be fair, we got plenty of football to be played. There's going to be some changes. There's going to be some teams that lose. There's going to be shuffling around. And ultimately, if you're Kalen DeBoer in Alabama, you do exactly like he said in this teleconference, man. You see the notification on your phone, you put the phone down, you get right back to work and know that you got a good resume, but you know, some good quality wins. But the biggest thing is you got to continue to do what you need to do over the next couple weeks and just take it 1 week at a time. So definitely some good stuff there. Chase, anything stand out to you? Whether it was from, I know we got about a minute or so for hit this next time out. Or Reed, if there's anything stood out from the SEC teleconference we heard or even from what Greg McElroy said, anything that caught y'all's attention?
Well, Christian, the only thing I think, and you pointed it out a little bit earlier, was about Parker Brailsford's, you know, availability. You know, I think in this next game with Eastern Illinois, I don't think it's going to be a huge issue. And I think it's one of those things where it could just be, you know, he hasn't been 100%, so they're going to rest him up for that game. I'm really hoping that's the case. But let's just say come Auburn week, and he actually, this is something significant, and he's still maybe 50-50 going into that game. In that hostile environment at night, I bet you could believe that, you know, in that place, I truly believe, I don't believe in magic, but if magic was a place, you know, it's in Jordan-Hare. And so, I'm really kind of concerned if he doesn't play, like, just a backup snapper, the chemistry, I don't know if it's going to fully be there. That's kind of what I've been thinking about recently.
Yeah, listen, you're spot on with that. I mean, the center position is, I mean, one of the most important positions in college football. I mean, that's your quarterback's best friend. A lot of the times, sometimes it depends on the system or the coach, whoever it is, but they're in charge of, you know, protections, getting things called up front, blocking schemes. I mean, like, they're like the second quarterback to the offense, right? And if you were to go into Auburn, and that's what makes it even more challenging, because, you know, when you go play on the road, hostile environment, loud as hell, and you're talking about your in-state rival, and then you're saying playing with the backup, which, again, I'm almost positive Brailsford's playing that game. I'm just saying if he couldn't, that would cause me concern in that game, right? Because I just know how important having your center in there is, and you're saying all of a sudden you've got the backup in there at that stage and in, with those circumstances, that environment, that would not make me feel great. Now, I have confidence that Parker's going to be good, but I don't even – did you guys remember him coming out of the game? Was he just banged up and just played through it? I didn't see him go down or come out. Did I miss that or –
No, I don't remember that at all. But, Christian, I will also add one other thing about the whole, you know, Notre Dame being ranked over Alabama. The one thing that I kind of took away, and this is just my personal opinion, you know, I know some people can maybe disagree with this, but how I looked at it is if the committee, you know, I know we've got better wins than them. I think that's an undisputed fact. But it felt to me as if they punished us. Like, they punished us already at the start of the season when we lost to Florida State, right? And credit to them, because I think that's what they should have done. But then when we lost to Oklahoma, it felt as if they didn't acknowledge the Oklahoma loss. And it, like, went back to, like, oh, you remember they did also lose to Florida State. You know what I mean? It's like we lost to a genuinely good, most likely, like, in the playoff Oklahoma team if they continue down this road. I just hate the fact that they, like, almost don't acknowledge the loss to a good team and go back to that, you know, first week.
That's why I kept trying to say, I mean, I kept talking about Oklahoma being a good team, and now the people that were trying to go against me, now they're probably agreeing with me because that makes our loss look better. But this is what I'll say. I'm with you, Reed. It confuses me. I mentioned this a little while ago. They had us ranked at number four with no problem with that loss to Florida State. Well, not necessarily no problem, but they didn't magnify the loss to Florida State like they're doing now. Now, I understand that the loss to Oklahoma wasn't pretty, and maybe they didn't really get asked about Alabama, but it almost seemed like they turned a blind eye to the close one in South Carolina, and they called LSU like a close one. To me, I'll be honest with you, I think they kind of stretched that one. I mean, it was a closer game, but 20-9. I mean, I don't think that's that bad. I mean, they're a pretty decent LSU football team. But that being said, I feel like now it's lost to Oklahoma. It's like they're trying to justify all the other things that they were kind of overlooking while they were having us ranked at number four and giving us a lot of props and a lot of credit. So it's interesting, but, you know, it is what it is. You win, you shouldn't have anything to worry about. And I think that's just the approach we got to have. But definitely makes for a lot of good conversation. We got to hit a timeout. We come back. We'll wrap things up. We'll listen to one more player interview from yesterday. Maybe we'll hear from Jam Miller. A lot of talk about Jam and the running game. I'm sure he probably got asked a number of questions, so I'm curious to see what he had to say about that. So we'll close out on that. We'll come back right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.
The Tide Postgame Show is powered by Pearl River Resort, DCH Regional Medical Center, Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, and Two Dimes.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Partially sunny and warm this afternoon. The high today around 80. Tonight fair, the low 59. Tomorrow partly to mostly sunny, the high 81. Friday cloudy with periods of rain. Friday's high in the middle 70s at 75. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 73 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
And we're back right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Real quick, let's close things out. We got another player interview from yesterday. Real quick, a lot of talk about the running game, some of the backs. Well, we heard from Jam Miller after practice yesterday, and this is what he had to say.
With this being senior week, just what have these last 4 years meant being here at Alabama?
Oh, it's been a great journey, you know, since the beginning I came here and with Saban, just to the end with the boy, you know. Love all the guys that been in and out of here, you know, and just hoping to finish the season off strong.
Obviously, there's a lot of things still you want to accomplish while you're here. Do you allow yourself to kind of look back and say, man, I've come a long way? Like on senior day, like, do you allow yourself to reflect?
You know, sometimes I go back, like, how crazy time moved, you know, time going by fast.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I just got out of high school, you know, just now I'm in my senior year, last year here at Belmont. It's just, I don't know, it's a lot to take in.
Nakai said he hopes this isn't the last time y'all get to play in Bryant-Denny. Is that something that y'all kind of been talking about this week?
You know, we're just taking game by game, you know, week by week, you know, and depending on how we go on by the last two games, you know, hopefully we can have a, you know, another home game or whatsoever. But right now we're just worried about this week and what we got to do to improve.
How have you thought your senior year has gone so far, you specifically?
You know, it's always room for improvement. You know, me personally, you know, always could say that I need to get better. Somebody probably think I'm doing the best of the best, you know, but in the back of my head, you know, it's always room for improvement.
What'd you see on film for the Oklahoma game for your position and for yourself as well, past production?
You know, it's a lot, you know, we always got to improve, you know. I basically take the blame for it from last game, from last week. You know, we just got to flush that, you know, work on what we need to work on and just get better.
James, did you see, I guess, better or clearer holes, like from pass or from run protection? And like, did you see room to work against Oklahoma? Was it different than in games past, or what did you see?
Yeah, our O-line got way better. You know, like what I said, running backs, we take the blame for it. You know, we need to do better at pass protection, just hitting the holes right, reading the O-line, and just getting what we could get.
So what does that look like on the practice field going that, you know, I guess moving forward, whether it's Eastern Illinois, whether it's Auburn, kind of, what does that look like to kind of improve on the practice?
You know, of course, we come in on Sunday, you know, watch game film, see our mistakes, and then throughout the week, you know, we just work on it, you know, practice it, and just continue to get better.
Coach Grubb talked about yesterday, I think he said that, like, y'all asked or maybe wanted more reps with Alabama's linebackers in practice with pass approaches, and that, like, he listens to y'all, kind of what you need in practice. Is that something y'all been able to work on yet this week, or kind of how much do your teammates kind of prepare you for that?
Oh, it's kind of crazy because as we on the offensive side, you know, some of the D linemen, you know, starting D linemen, mm-hmm. like TK, you know, all of them, they actually come on our side and actually get rep with the starting O lines. You know, it just kind of like iron sharper iron, you know, just trying to build each other, you know, just trying to get each other better.
What's maybe been the biggest difference for you from the Missouri game when you went down with that injury?
I'm going to say it again.
What's been the biggest difference for you since that Missouri game when you went down with the injury?
You know, it's the guys behind me, you know, everybody's ready, you know, the next guy up mentality, you know, everybody in the room from the oldest to the youngest always going to be ready.
What have you seen from Daniel?
Oh, Daniel's been great, you know, just trying to stay on him, just keep grinding, you know, just trying to tell him just be humble, you know, just keep doing your thing, and you know, he's doing great on the field, and I just continue to keep pushing him.
You said the length got way better this week. Just what'd you see on the right side with Michael at right tackle and Wilkin working at guard this week? Just kind of how did that work out?
You know, each guy go do good at whatever position they play in, you know. You know, whenever it's take time, you know, they go out there and perform their best.
what's kind of the message to, I guess the overall run game moving forward? Like, what's been the message, whether it's from Coach Gillespie or from Ryan Grubb? Like, what have you guys been?
You know, we just got to improve. You know, we just got to get better. You know, of course, during the game, there were some run holes we missed. You know, we just got to work on it, be patient in our runs, and just hit it.
So there you go. That was Alabama running back Jam Miller speaking to the media yesterday. Discussed a little bit about Senior Day, his time here, and probably most importantly, the running game. A lot of people have been talking about that, but sounds like they're getting back to work. And he said, hey, it's on us. It's on us running backs, man. We got to do a better job. We'll see if they can get some momentum going in this Eastern Illinois game this weekend as they come take on Alabama for an early one, 11 o'clock kick. That'll do it for us on this Wednesday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arc Sport Experts. Big thanks to Reed and Chase behind the glass. Gray Robertson of the Crimson Tide Sports Network. He'll be on call with women's basketball tonight, plus Alabama men's basketball taking on Illinois as well. You can catch all that coverage on the Crimson Tide Sports Network. Look forward to seeing you guys tomorrow right here on the Miller's Edge, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arc Sport Experts. Have a great day, and we'll see you guys then.